Hello, everyone. Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider High School Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Bob Rose Point After, North End Zone, and Westside Pizza. Just me tonight. Marty has COVID. Hopefully, he has a speedy recovery and he is back to cover some more high school hoops action in the Metro. Haven't talked to you guys since before Christmas, so I hope you had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. A lot of basketball was played since last time we talked, and let's get right into it. Now, probably the team that caught most people's eye in the guys seen in the Sioux City area so far has been East High. And it's been a senior-led driven team with B-Ray leading the East High Black Raiders to a very nice season so far. They do have two losses on the year, back-to-back against Kenwood, the team from the Illinois area, and then Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But after that loss to AL, they have two quality wins, a nice one-point win against Lamar's team where they had to switch and go on the road, and then just last night against Bishop Heelan, an in-town rival, a gutsy performance there by East High. And like I said, they're led by their seniors and B-Ray and Ben Jacobson. Or Ben Jackson, excuse me. And then you have your juniors, your Preston Dobbs coming off the bench, Cole Ritchie, Brandt Van Dyke, and Kellen Jacobson are all really putting a cumulative effort to this East High team, and that's the reason that they have only two losses. Preston Dobbs coming off the bench is actually the leading scorer in points for this East High team, accumulating up to 150 points on the year. Really gives them a threat from the three-point range, shooting right around just under 50%. And then Jackson Flattery, another senior, shooting over the mark there at 66%. Only shot three three-pointers, but still shooting it at a high efficiency there for East High. We'll talk about the game against Heelan. East got out and they played to their competition. Loaded gym, great atmosphere at East High School, and East was able to come out with the victory. It was a lot of inside and outside scoring. Early and often, Bishop Heelan had the 3-point game rolling. They had a couple open looks and they made them count. And the student section really got behind them. And you know, with a close game going into half, Raz needed something to change, and they got on a little bit of a run, and you know, in the final minute or so, Heelan was able to kind of claw back, but really never got out of that 4-point deficit for Heelan. That's what the final ended up being, 59-55. Now, if you look at all these East games, 59 points for most of their games, they're not winning them. They played in a couple lower scoring affairs against Sergeant Bluff, a lower scoring game against maybe Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln. Other than that, they're scoring in the 80-point range. So for Heelan to do a good job and limit the possessions East had, it was a grudgy matchup. Both coaches thought that, you know, a couple foul calls could have won a different way, but that's what you get when you get an inner-city, rivalry like that. But, you know, credit to Heelan. You know, last time they played, it was a close game, too, up until the late part in the fourth quarter when they played at Heelan. Losing by 8 points, and then, you know, playing against them the other day and only losing by 4. You know, Heelan, this team's young, and they're going to have a lot to learn on, but they have some good depth. Their size is good. I like how they shoot the ball from the perimeter, and, you know, the team's only going to get better as it goes on, but East so far put together a really good slate, really controlling the Sioux City part of the conference here. And you know, they already lost their first game to AL. If they could get it, go down to the Lynx and steal a win out of their gym, that would be huge for them. Played a really good game last time they played and just let a late surge by Josh Dix get away from them. But I think what we've seen together from East so far is a good start for this season, and for Raz and company to get their way to where they want to be, and that's in the postseason. Now, we talked about Council Bluffs' Abe Lincoln and the man that is Josh Dix, and I don't think enough has been talked about his other senior counterparts, Jamison Groomer, Jackson Jones, Jake Duffy, J.R. Noss. All those seniors, you know, play a pivotal role in how well this team does. You know, and we watched the game. Jake Duffy is a big center. He's a huge guy. When during the game in East, they would just drive to the middle of the lane, and when Jake's, you know, matchup on defense came up to, you know, secure the lane, they just did a quick bounce pass, and he had easy lay-ins. And then he can also kind of stretch the floor for them. A bigger guy that's really active and good at passing the ball. And then Jamison Gruber. You know, we talk about Josh Dick's scoring ability, his athleticism, his dunking ability. Jamison Gruber can light it up from all over the field, shooting 40% from three, 52% from the field, and has 165 points on the season. And, you know, 41 assists, 20 steals. And he's really active all over. He's their playmaker when Josh has to be more, you know, passive and not so assertive. You know, when you need a guy to step up, he's a good complement piece to Josh Dix, and that's why this AL team has been really cooking on all cylinders. They took two losses, both road games, to really good teams out of the Omaha region, Bellevue West and Millard North. Both those games, you know, obviously won't show up when you go to play back in these Iowa teams, but kind of a good, you know, measuring stick on where they're at talent-wise. You know, they play against like Helam. They beat them by 40. North, they just played and they beat them by just about 50. So, you know, you want to get some better competition to play around, because when it comes time to playoff time, you're going to be playing against the top teams in the state of Iowa. So you can't necessarily, I don't want to say play cupcake games, but you don't want to play, you know, games in conference that aren't going to really challenge you in a basketball standpoint. You know, early in the season, they beat a good Dowling Catholic team. When they played against East, another team that's ranked, I think, in the top 10, or at least receiving votes in 4A, they beat them once. If they can beat them again, it'd be huge. But you look at the teams in the upper, like the ones, twos, and threes in Class 4A for basketball, Ames is a upper tier to what it is, and everyone's kind of just a little bit below them. If they can somehow get the tape rolling, I think a matchup of the Lynx versus the Ames team would be a really good matchup. I like Tamium Lipsy from Ames, good guard, great guard going to Iowa State. I love how he handles the ball. Him going against the movement of Josh Dixon, Jamison Gruber, more of a dual threat guard combo there would be a really good matchup. I think, you know, AL has the ball rolling in the right direction. And, you know, obviously you like what you've seen about them. I haven't seen enough AL with them being farther down the road from us, but the games that they have traveled up here and played, they've played lights out and they've played winning basketball. So it's a credit to the coaching staff and those kids getting riled around them. Really, really heavy on the senior leadership on this team. It's kind of an all or nothing season for the Lynx. You know, obviously no one wants to go out with a loss, but I think that this team out of any in the MRAC they're really fighting for that championship there. We'll go on and we'll drop some classes here and we'll go to Woodbury Central. I love talking about Woodbury Central. I love their team. I love everything about their team, and especially in football. But you know, go to the basketball court and they got some seniors that are playing some good ball right now too. And you talk about the quarterback on the field is also the main leading scorer for this Wildcat team, has just shy of 300 points on the season, and actually surpassed 1,000 career points for the Wildcats. He's only the fourth in school history to surpass 1,000 points, so congrats to Dallas Klunder there. Also, today happens to be his birthday, so happy birthday to you as well, Dallas. We have the Blyle twins that are playing some good ball as well. Aiden O'Mara is also shooting the ball extremely well. You know, this Woodbury Central team had taken a couple losses back-to-back here, and they're a team that's playing right around just over 500 basketball. I believe they're 9-5 on the season. Just lost to a really good Galen Catholic team, but, you know, they're a team that isn't going to necessarily sneak into the playoffs, but they're going to be playing some good basketball here late, and they can definitely make some noise come playoff time. It's a very loaded conference that they play in, so it's going to be basically grinding it out till the end. But I've liked what I've seen about them, and I saw it pop up on Twitter that Dallas got his 1,000th point, so couldn't not shout him out. So congrats there. Anytime anyone has a, you know, obviously it's a team sport, but anyone that has a, you know, single season or career, you know, accolade, you have to give credit where credit's due. Also, 528 career rebounds. You know, I'm not saying that he could possibly get there, but over 1,000 point scorer and 600 rebounds, that's a pretty good tale of the tape on how good of a basketball player you are. And, you know, obviously we saw what he could do on the gridiron too. So rounding out a pretty darn good career there at Woodbury Central. Now we will get into the team that, you know, Marty and I haven't really talked a whole lot about of in boys basketball. We talked a lot about them when they were combined in football, but they split up in basketball, and that's Boyden Hall. Oh, Boyden Hall. Tanner Tesla, the reason he's going to SDSU, South Dakota State, is because he's the real deal. 266 points and 95 rebounds, 41 assists, 12 steals on the year. The man can shoot the ball. And their only loss on the season was early in the year to a Central Lion team who was really good, kind of caught them slipping a little bit. But they got the revenge game, and they played Central Lion and then won at Central Lion. So, you know, you early in the season, your second game in, you drop one. You never want to lose one at home. But they regroup over the course there of the time off during Christmas, and they came out and they've looked really sharp. They average right around 75 or so points per contest, and they hold their opponents right around 40. So a good 30-point margin victory for this Boyden Hall Comets team. And I think, you know, Boyden Hall, any of those teams that are in kind of the vicinity of the metro area, is probably one of them that you're going to have to mark that you're going to be watching down in Des Moines. I think they're super balanced. Their seniors, I think they're 7 or 8 deep with seniors. Ryan Zylstra, Dylan Francis, Drew Van Wrinkle, Vance Kasky. I mean, there's a lot of guys that can score a lot of points for this team. And, you know, on the season, they've scored 834 points as a team. And they really got the ball rolling. They play some hard competition. Like we said, they already played their two games against Central Lion. They've played against a good MOC, Floyd Valley team. George Little Rock, they played twice, won both games there. It's going to be interesting to see how they get when they get past playoff time. I think their original bracket for their conference isn't going to be the strongest, but when they get out of there and they got a couple games to play before they get to the Wells, I think is going to be really important to see how they're playing. But really hard not to tip your cap to Tanner Tesla, what he did on the football field, and then obviously what he's done so far here in basketball. The man can light it up, and I'm excited to watch him not only to finish out his senior season at Boyden Hall, but also to play up there in Brookings. I think he's going to have a heck of a career in basketball as it passes on, like another brother did and is doing right now at North Dakota. And obviously I'm talking about the Bruns brothers. We have Isaac Bruns playing right now for a Dakota Valley team that is number one in the state of South Dakota. You know, this team going into the year we thought was going to be pretty good. You know, they had their junior class that's just absolutely loaded with Bruns and Rosenquist, Jackson Hennis. But the seniors have done a good job as well, really getting this team to where it needs to be. Joey Bryant, Braden Major, Sam Faldmo, those guys are kind of like the glue pieces that aren't going to fill it up insanely well in the stat sheet. But all of them collectively together play as a unit, and they know how to play through any little bit of adversity. We just watched them on Metro Sports Television play down against a really good, gritty, physical West Sioux team. And solid through three quarters, close game, 6-point game. And then all of a sudden at the very end of it, they really started to pour it on. And, you know, Isaac Bruns has a chance to take over any game that he wants to. He's averaging right around 25.5 points a game. And then his other counterpart in the junior, Randy Rosenquist, Randy Do-It-All Rosenquist, 13 points a game, averaging right around 5.5 rebounds, 7.5 assists, and 5.5 steals. He's really your 5x5 kind of guy, where if you take your eyes off him at any time when you're on the offensive possession, he's going to be flying by getting a steal. He's really good at finding open lanes for cutters, and then they just run such a good offense to get Bruns open. You know, you have to even worry about Jackson Wingert, the big that can stretch the floor and shoot threes. You know, they've played their rough go of competition and they've handled it. Haven't lost a game all year. I don't think that they'll lose a game in the way that the year is shaping out and how they're playing. They're playing really good football. They're playing really good basketball, and it's just really hard to slow down the momentum that they're getting up there in DV. Super good. They're playing together as a unit, and it's just when you watch that kind of basketball, and it's flowing so effortlessly for this team. They can beat you in transition if you want to slow them down, which teams try to. And when they come into the state of Iowa where there's no shot clock, you can kind of drain the ball out. They're getting right back into their offensive possession, going down, setting what they need to set up, and scoring. So they can play the shot clock game. They can play the no shot clock game. This offense is clicking at all cylinders right when it needs to be. And unless one of these guys go on an absolute cold streak, I don't see the DV boys going anywhere for a while. I'm going to be excited to watch them play in the state tournament as the season goes on. We'll go and look at their counterparts in the girls. Girls only have one loss on the season. Their loss was to a very good team in Harrisburg. And the girls are led by Rosenquist, obviously. You know, she's averaging right around 25 points a game. So very, very good effort that they've had scoring. West Central was their loss. Not Harrisburg, I apologize. West Central, the loss there. But they've beaten Sergeant Bluff. And you know, the games that they needed to win, they've done so. And it's been done. Obviously, it's super hard to stop Rosenquist, but you have Peyton Tritz, Grace Bass, Carlson, Tuttle. You have all these girls on the court that are able to do it, and obviously it's impossible to stop Riley Rosenquist. You can only try to contain her in a game. And in the game, they had a doubleheader. We just talked about the West Sioux and the guys game. They tried everything they could to contain her, and at the end, you know, the West Sioux's big fouled out, and then Riley just basically saw an open lane almost every possession, took it to the rack, gotten some and-one opportunities, got some good shots to go in. She's deadly from the free throw line. If you have that good of a shooter and you don't have a hand in her face, obviously she's going to make it a high clip, and she's done that. She's active on the steals. Averages almost a double-double. She's 0.1 rebounds shy of a double-double averaging on the season. Really good way to really cement your senior season. Could honestly win a basketball title for this Dakota Valley team. You know, I think she's probably one of the most polished girls basketball players I think I've ever seen. And she just, you know, you wouldn't really think of it looking at her. She's not the tallest, but she's just got a lot of grit, and she's super athletic. And with the frame that she has, she just is kind of a bully down low. But then, you know, you can't take her for granted from the three-point line because she can pull it at a high clip from there as well. So super hard guard for there. They're definitely going to miss her next season. But they do have a lot of younger girls that'll keep the DV train rolling for that. DV beat a Sergeant Bluff team who has only lost two games on the year, both those going to top-ranked teams. At the time, I believe DV was ranked in number one or number two in girls basketball, and then Helan, who we talked about as well, ranked, I believe, number one in girls basketball. Those are the only two losses for Sergeant Bluff. Sergeant Bluff led by junior Peyton Hardy. She's getting some looks from some area schools around here. I'd like to see her continue her academic and basketball career at a school Maybe not around here, maybe somewhere else, but she's got a good feel of the game. She's tall. She took away from running most of the point, and now she's just a down low scorer, and she is insanely good in the post, and a reason that this team is so good. They have two bigs that are really good at basketball and shooting the ball and really understanding the game. I think it's hard to talk about high school sports and to really get a grasp of how to play the game. And Emma Salker and Peyton Hardy do that. And Emma obviously going to play volleyball next year, but great basketball IQ. She knows how to find spaces in the floor. She's a good shooter. She has length, so she's a good rebounder. And then when you have those two interior presence on the inside that can also spread the floor and shoot, you have to kind of worry about matchups. And Sergeant Bluff is a matchup nightmare, because then all of a sudden you pull two away and you have Maddie Hinkle open for three, or Caitlin Sale, Addie Brown. You know, there's a lot of girls, especially in a senior-led team, that is ready and poised to make a postseason run. Now, they don't have to meet up with Helan being another level above them, so they don't have to meet them. But, you know, playing against Helan and playing against DV is kind of the iron sharpening iron, if you will, for this Sergeant Bluff team. I think they're going to have a great run. They've had some gritty wins, some close wins. They know how to win when from behind. So it's this team, and Coach Hardy's got this team ready to make a pretty decent postseason run. I don't think a run that this girls basketball team has seen probably since, they had a couple good years of late, but they had the really good years back in like the 2011 years. I think they could definitely get back to that. Obviously, their main goal is to make it to the Wells, and that's going to be the biggest goal for this team. Rounding out is probably the most impressive basketball team, girls or boys, I think, that you could put on paper for this season, and that is the Bishop Helan girls team. This girls team is crazy, and to put it at light, and this is a team that lost to Harrisburg. I had it in the back of my mind, and they lost to Harrisburg by 2 points, a very, very talented Harrisburg girls team. But this team, they shoot the ball well, and they press, and they press, and they press. And they are on you from the opening tip until the final buzzer. And that is so hard to emulate in practice. I know different coaches try to bring in, you know, maybe an extra girl into practice and have six girls on the court because, you know, you're never really going to be open. Or they bring in, you know, some JV or other guys to kind of emulate the pressure and the speed that they get the game going. But I think the most impressive thing is this team is led by three juniors and a sophomore, and the sophomore is the most impressive to me. Brooklyn Stanley is only a sophomore and is leading the Crusaders in points, 188 on the season. And then it's junior Kenley Meese, junior Lauren Peck, junior Jada Newberg, and then a sophomore, Maddie Demke. I didn't say senior there one time, and that's the thing that's going to be scary, especially for this MRAC conference for girls basketball, is all these girls are coming back next year. So obviously the end goal for every high school team is to go down to Des Moines and to compete for a state title. This team can do that and then get better and do it again next year. I think that just the way that they play, the style that they play, they force bad shots from the offensive opposition into good shots on their side. They shoot at a high clip. They defend at a high clip. Their steals on this, they have 227 steals on the season. And, you know, the 227 steals, more than likely that's going to create some fast break opportunities, easier shots. Obviously, an uncontested layup's easier to make than a contested jumper. And this team just plays solid basketball. They don't have a ton of fouls on the year, so they play defense without fouling, which is a key in high school ball. And then they rebound the ball really well. You know, 60 rebounds for their top two rebounders, 48, 33, 24, 35. All around, they have girls that can rebound, get you second chance points, get you out outlets for offensive possessions. This team, to me, is probably going to compete for a state championship. I think it's one of the only teams out of the bunch in Iowa that'll compete for a state championship. I think Helan is definitely a team that can do so. And then you go to the side of the Dakota side, and I think both girls and boys for Dakota Valley have as good a shot as anyone for competing for a state title in their respected spots. But almost halfway through or more through the month of January, and we've had some great basketball. We got a lot more basketball to come, and then I'm really going to start to narrow it down and pick my favorite teams once playoffs come. You know, obviously it turns the boys to men and the girls to women when it comes to that time. It's kind of a nut up or shut up time. It's you played all this basketball this whole way, all the way through, and obviously the end goal is to host a trophy at the end. You know, banners and everything are nice for participation, but you know, you didn't put in blood, sweat, and tears for a banner. You came for that trophy. So I'm gonna be really excited to see how the rest of this basketball season turns out for all of our area teams and even some of our farther away teams. You know, we talked about Boyden Hall, and we've talked about, you know, Woodbury Central, the Lynx of Council Bluffs. I know they're gonna be a good representation of the MRAC down there. But just I'm excited to see some really good basketball, and then, you know, sooner or later we're gonna have this basketball season come to an end just like football did. So just really grateful to watch some good basketball, and have been able to watch and call some good basketball games there on Metro Sports Television too. You go on to Metro Sports TV or on the Rockfin app, and you can watch a multitude of games. We have games that are in this the area for Sioux City, and we also have games up in the Sioux Falls area that you're able to stream or watch on demand whenever you want to. Had to make sure I throw that in there, especially with Marty being homesick. He's watched a couple of the games on the Rockfin app on Metro Sports TV there, so it's a huge up for him. So he's able to stay connected while, you know, being at his house and whatnot. And, you know, we hope every single one of you stays safe and healthy, especially with this COVID-ridden time. But we appreciate you guys listening, and we will see you guys next week. Marty will be here next week. I promise, guys, he's having a ton of soup, and he's getting better. A lot of vitamin C for him. So he'll be back, and we'll be able to talk about what a great week in high school basketball it was. And we'll even have our college podcast coming up next week as well, so you won't want to miss it. Thanks again to our sponsor, Bob Rose Point After. Great pizza, great wings. Went there the other day and left way fuller than what I wanted to. Their buffalo chicken pizza is phenomenal. If you haven't tried it, go and try it. Amazing. Thanks again to Bob Rose, our sponsor. We'll check you guys out next week. And again, stay safe and stay healthy.